Welcome to our weekly Church on the Rock podcast. For more information, visit us at churchak.org, download our Church on the Rock AK app, or like us on our Facebook page. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy our weekly podcast.
We're in a series called Genius of Generosity. We just started last Sunday. We're wrapping it up this week, so it's a short series. Pastor Jonathan spoke about sacrificial, joyful generosity, and I'm going to double down on some of that today. I was struck this Thanksgiving as I got to go to my wife Cora's family. We showed up, and they opened the door for us, and man, I got this incredible smell coming from the house, just this wonderful aroma, you know what I mean? It's like the turkey and the pie, and it wasn't that I was just hungry or that I enjoy food. I mean, I like food just as much as anybody, but it was that it struck this memory, this nostalgic memory, this really great emotion kind of washed over me, and I thought of just Thanksgivings when I was a kid with my family, and it just, man, just really happy, good emotions came over me, and I've had some not so good emotions towards Thanksgiving as I've had, you know, some Thanksgivings when I was a starving artist in Los Angeles with the frozen dinner, the what's called the hungry man dinner. Not so good smelling dinners, those ones, but yeah, it's interesting with a sense of smell how it is a very powerful trigger towards memory and emotion, even over our other senses. So when we smell something, we just immediately know that memory and what that brings us back to. I think smell, the sense of smell gets a bad rap, to be honest with you, because when something doesn't smell good, what do we say? We say, that smells. But when something doesn't look good, we don't say, that looks. Let that sink in. Regarding the Bible and aroma, aroma appears about 10 times in the Bible, and it's usually always relating to a sacrifice to God, an offering to God, in response to being thankful to God. And I love that this Genius of Generosity series, and as we're generous towards a benevolence fund and we give to those in need, I love that that falls on Thanksgiving weekend. Because there's no doubt there's a link between being thankful and being generous. They're certainly tied to one another. As we give to God and give to those in need, we're evoking this sweet smell of thanksgiving and gratitude to God in response to his graciousness to us. And you might hear like a worship leader say, hey, God, may this worship be a sweet aroma to you. Let's pray to God right now. Father, Lord, we just come before you today, God, and we just come together with thankful hearts. Lord, we want to be joyful, and we want to just bring joy to you, Lord, by being thankful to you, and then also in response being generous to you, Lord. God, we love you, Lord, and I just ask, Lord, speak today, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak. It's in Jesus' name, amen. So nobody knows aroma and smell like I feel the woman in the Bible, in the Gospel of Mark. Mark documents this really awesome act that this woman does. Jesus is hanging out in Bethany quite a bit before his crucifixion, and he was hanging out with his friends, he was hanging out with his worshipers, his disciples, and he's kicking back. And I just love this about Jesus, because he's about to go on the cross, but he's not too worried, he's not too stressed. It says in the scripture here that he's found reclining, he's relaxing. So let's check out Mark 14, verse 3. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of you might know this story. Some of you might not know the story. At first glance, when I'm reading this, I'm thinking, I would like this so much. I mean, if a woman came up to me and poured a bottle of Calvin Klein perfume on my head, it would be awkward, and it would probably stick to my hair, and I wouldn't be able to get it out. I'd try to wash it out, and it would still smell like it. But I want to kind of take us back, you know, a couple thousand years ago, that when a guest would come into someone's home, they would have this really expensive bottle of perfume, and it would have like a like an olive oil cap on it because it was very expensive, and so they would just dab a little bit on the guest, maybe pray for them. It would make the guest smell good and make the room smell good because you got to think. They didn't have daily hot showers in this time. They didn't have Speed Stick deodorant, Ralph Lauren cologne, or for all the junior high boys, Axe body spray, which is pretty vile in itself. So yeah, they were in a Mediterranean hot, humid climate, and people, you know, that's what they would do when they were in a room together. I got to work in Japan for a while when I was in my early 20s. I worked for a famous Japanese rock band at the time, and I had to ride the subway. In these subways, man, they would just jam you in there like sardines, chest to chest, just packed. And a lot of those folks didn't wear, you know, deodorant. And it would just be like the BO, right? Whoa. And so this is what you have to kind of think this was like. When you didn't have any of that stuff, they would use this this perfume. Now, Mark says, calls this woman the woman, but in the book of in Matthew 26 and John 12, John 12 tells us this woman is Mary. She is the sister of Martha, the you know the great hostess in the Bible, and she's also the sister of Lazarus, the man that Jesus raised from the dead. Now, this happened. This worshiper of Jesus pours this perfume on Jesus' head. This happens on a Saturday night. 6 days before the Passover. Now, the Sabbath and the Passover fell on the same day that year, so it was a huge year, big festival, and Jesus was crucified on the preparation day, which is the day you prepare for the Sabbath. So this is 5 days out of when Jesus would go to the cross. Now, this perfume, just want to talk about this a little bit. It comes from northern India in the Himalayas. It's called nard. It's this very rare plant. It's still used today, by the way. But it's an intensely amber-colored aromatic oil. People would even use it for medicine. It's basically the super oil, very expensive. It would basically, yeah, this stuff was, the cost of it's 300 denarii, which was a year's salary. So in today's terms and in U.S. dollars, this oil would cost a whopping $54,509. Yeah, just a little gasp. That's cool. But so, I mean, with inflation, I mean, maybe we could call it 60 grand with what the costs are of stuff today. But in Alaska terms, yeah, okay, so she gave, she poured this really expensive perfume on Jesus' head. It'd be like giving someone the keys to an F-150 Ford or something. So this is a big sacrifice, but it's not the amount of money that we give, it's the amount of sacrifice. See, oftentimes we, when we give, we want to control the manner that we do it, the when and the how we do it. When I was a worship pastor at Creekside, I accumulated a bunch of guitars, a bunch of nice guitars, and there's this kid on the team who's a good guitar player. He didn't have a guitar. He didn't have much money, and the Holy Spirit was telling me to give him one of my nice guitars. I'm like, I'm going to do it. I give him this guitar. So I had the time set, the place. I was going to do it at worship practice before worship practice started. And as I was preparing the guitar, I opened the case, and I was looking in the little compartments in it. And I was making sure the strings were nice and polishing it up. Well, I was like, oh, man, that's my capo. My friend gave me that capo. I'm just going to go ahead and take that. And, oh, yeah, well, that's my tuner. Let me grab my tuner out of it. I just stopped myself, and I was like, well, what am I doing? I'm trying to control even the manner in which I'm being generous. And what I love about Mary in the scripture is she doesn't even take off the cap of this oil. She just breaks this bottle open. And she just takes her chips, and she's all in. She's all in with her generosity and all in with her thankfulness to Jesus and what he was doing in her life and what he was about to do. She was just all in with her thanks. This act, this was profound sacrificial devotion, joyful admiration, and generous affection. Pastor Jonathan talked last week about the stock market, and by the way, Friday, it was all in the red and crashed and everything. You can never predict those things, but when I was a kid, I thought the stock market, you had to go to New York City and be one of those crowded rooms with the ticker, and the piece of paper. You buy, sell, buy high, buy, sell, and sell low, whatever that is. But nowadays, man, it's different. Anybody can do it. I mean, it's on your phone. You just get an app, and you just go, you go in on it. Anything you want to invest in, whether it be a retirement account, a money market, mutual fund market, all sorts of markets, I mean, you can track them on your phone. And even if you're not into that, maybe you're into ClickList, you've got your grocery stores, your grocery market is also on your phone. Our finances, what we invest is tied, and we can just look at it anytime we want. Our mind, our hearts are tied to this thing. And so too with generosity. So there's the stock market, there's the grocery market, there's all kinds of market, but there's the God market. And it's always a good time to invest in the God market. You see, when we are following what Jesus says and we are generous, our hearts are tied. And every time we give and every time we're generous to someone, what are we going to think about? We're going to think about God. Our hearts will be tied to him. See, when we invest in the God market, when we invest in generosity, we will think about God all the time because we have the responsibility to act in his will. Our minds will be fixed on God. Our relationship with God directly affects how we manage his resources. It's a heart-to-heart connection. It's a pathway to God. It connects us to him. You see, she was so thankful for what he was doing in her life and what he was about to do, that she acts in this incredible, generous way. But some didn't think so. Verse 4, some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. To be indignant, I had to look this up, is feeling or showing anger or annoyance at what is perceived as unfair treatment. They're basically saying that's unfair, not just wrong, but it's unfair. Now, Mark is a little more vague in who this woman is, but the book of John singles out that it's Judas. And in scripture, Judas was, it says that Judas, he carried the money box. And so he was kind of the accountant for all the giving and, for the ministry of Jesus. In the scripture, it says that he was embezzling money. So he was stealing money. So in contrast here, we've got a giver and we've got a taker. Your rep could be damaged too for giving so unbridled, so almost uncontrolled as she did. You could be called careless as well. I knew this missionary family, and someone donated to them an SUV. And I'd known some other missionary families, and people have donated cars to them or whatever, but this one family decided to donate just this tricked out SUV with the gangster rims, and this thing was shiny, and it had heated seats and steering wheel, all the tricks to it, and even paid for their insurance. So all they'd have to do is put gas in this thing. And a lot of people were happy for them. Oh, man, that's so awesome, you know. But some were like, man, could they have, did they need to do that? Did they need to go all out? You can be ridiculed. You can be criticized for such generosity. There's one thing that she understood is that this really valuable bottle of perfume that she could have sold and took a year off, is that it wasn't hers. It's not ours, including our time, including our health, including the very breath that we take. God gives us even the breath that we take. Everything we receive is from the Lord anyways. We have this great honor and responsibility to steward what God gives us. You see, if it's our money, my money, then it can go to, it's my body. I'm going to do what I want to with my body. I'm going to do, this is my spouse, my kids, my. It's almost like Gollum in Lord of the Rings a little bit there. See, so Judas, her rebuking her, you got to think too, he was resentful of Jesus. Jesus was not doing what he wanted him to do. He wanted him to ride in, you know, with a horse and cavalry and take out Rome. And Jesus is talking about being crucified and being risen in 3 days. What is he talking about? I resent you for that, so I'm going to take what's mine. And folks, we can be that way too. We can resent our bosses. Maybe they're not acting or doing what we want them to do. We can resent our spouses. You know, maybe they didn't respond the way they wanted them to respond. And we can also resent God. Maybe God's not working out stuff like we wanted him to in our way. We can resent those that we rely on and have an attitude of, yeah, but they owe me. But who owes you? Does God? The truth of it is, church, we owe God, and that debt was forgiven by Jesus on the cross. Giving money is generosity with money. It's just a mere preparation instrument for a deeper connection with God. See, if we give our money, see, if we give $100, well, you can go work and make that $100 back. But generosity and money will train us to give our time, because time you can't get back. Being generous with money will train us to sacrifice our reputation. Maybe you're an executive at some higher-up company and you're going to step down and take a stand because of ethical reasons. And so you're willing to give your career up. It will train us to sacrifice our future. Maybe you're a star athlete and you could have gone pro, but you're going to sacrifice that future up and go into ministry. It'll train us to sacrifice our future, and then ultimately it will train us to sacrifice our life or someone that we treasure. Maybe your son wants to go to Afghanistan in harm's way, to go serve at the Red Cross or some organization. You're like, no, he's my son. He's my son. I don't want him to go, but no, he's God's, and I'm gonna give him up. Man, Jesus is teaching us to be free from the bondage of stuff, isn't he? So Jesus responds here to Judas. He says, leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. By the way, he's talking to Judas here, right? So he's got the money. You can help the poor anytime you want, Judas. I know that, you know, after I die, you're going to take that money and give it all to the poor, right? I mean, Jesus, man, he's on it. She did what she could, Jesus says. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. See, generosity is not rooted in guilt or self-righteousness or a martyr complex, yet it's rooted in sacrificial devotion and joyful worship. And I'll tell you, Mary was a real deal believer. She believed in what Jesus was saying. She believed in Jesus' word. She had faith that what Jesus said was going to happen. She believed in the word of God. She trusted him with this valuable treasure. She risked it. See, his enemies heard him say that he was going to die, be buried, and be raised again in 3 days. They were coming after him for it. The disciples were skeptical at best. But Mary knew it, and she believed it. See, she saw her brother be raised from the dead, from Jesus. She had the recent experience of anointing her brother with her for his death and burial. See, being generous is like saying, I believe in the word of God. It's putting your money where your mouth is. Jesus says it's better to give than receive. Well, Jesus, I believe that, so I'm going to do that. And this is what she does. And what we're called to do as well. So, and check out the results here. Jesus says, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And when I was in Los Angeles, I drove a 1987 blue Ford Escort station wagon. And this thing was awesome, but you know, the city had so much smog and nastiness that your windows would just be covered in this thick film, and it was super gross. And this guy comes up to me, he's got this trench coat and dreads, and approached my car, and I'm eating this $5 El Pollo Loco bowl. El Pollo Loco is a little Mexican fast food joint in LA, but he's approaching the car. I'm like, oh, geez, what does this guy want? And he's like, yo, man, can I clean your windows for you? I'm like, I guess. I got an old beater, whatever, you know, and I didn't know what he was going to do, but he whips out this spray bottle, he whips out the squeegee, and he just starts going to work on my station wagon, cleans every window, and when he's done, I could just see forever. I'm just like, man, this guy, wow, I doubted him, and now he's doing this, and he's not even asking for money, and I rolled down the window, and it kind of like broke me a little bit, and he just goes, whole new world, ain't it? And he walks off. This guy's a legend. I mean, this guy offered his time, his work, his expertise, and just gave it to me, and here I am telling you guys about it 20 years later, whatever. So too with Mary, man, she had legend status. This is 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago. Here I'm at Wasilla, Alaska, at Church on the Rock, Wasilla campus, some skinny preacher telling you about this story. Legend status. So many times we can have the opportunity to be a legend to somebody too, not just in this earth, but in eternity as well. Interesting, with Jesus, this was the first time someone anointed Jesus with oil. There was a sinful woman who anointed his feet, and this instance where she pours this entire bottle on his head is 5 days out, and here he is, Jesus, the ultimate offering, the ultimate sacrifice, walking around smelling like a rose. Everybody else is stinky, and Jesus is walking around just emanating this amazing aroma. Fascinating. Her getting to legend status, getting to legend rank, was due to the fact that she was grateful for what Jesus had done, for what he was about to do, and she responds in this awesome act, generosity. She knew that by doing that, she wasn't going to be poor. She knew she had an abundance of wealth. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty he might become rich. So that you, through his poverty, might become rich. There's no evidence that Jesus was any poorer than most first century Palestinians. Rather, Jesus gave up his rights as God to become human. Jesus was there creating galaxies, creating the earth, creating man, animals. He was there parting the Red Sea. He was in this perfect communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit in him, and he emptied himself and became poor. He became human, subject to our limitations of time, our limitations of space, limited to this human body that's bound to have aches and pains. This is the incarnation that God voluntarily became man, the human person, Jesus of Nazareth. He set aside the full extent of his glory and his rights, and he set aside so much for us. He refused to live this independent life. So he submitted himself to the will of the Father. Christ became poor when he became human because he set aside, guys, so much. We can't even fathom how much he set aside. Yet by doing so, he made us rich because we receive a new way of living our lives. Salvation and eternal life. Church on the Rock, we're rich. We're rich in Jesus. We have gained so much through Jesus. What made Jesus' humanity unique was his freedom from sin. In his full humanity, we can see everything about God's character that can be conveyed in human terms, and we can follow him, we can live like him, we can model our lives like him. Thinking about Jesus becoming poor brings me to Jesus on the cross. It's the ultimate poverty place, I would say. His eyes, maybe he couldn't see so much because of the crown of thorns and the blood dripping into his eyes. Maybe all Jesus heard was crying of his friends, the mourning of his friends, and people throwing insults and mocking him. Feel, well, I can't even fathom what Jesus felt and the pain that he went through for us. Taste, well, probably had that vinegar taste. You can read the gospel for yourself. But I would like to think that a little wind blew his hair across his face, and Jesus smelled that sacrificial, joyful generosity of a worshiper. Did Jesus need that to get through the cross? No, he was committed to submitting to the Father and following through with it. But did it bless Jesus? Yes, church. We have the opportunity to bless Jesus too with our sacrificial, joyful generosity. It's not the amount we give. I mean, think what Jesus can do with a dollar. What that investment can be and how much he could grow that, $10, $1,000, whatever it is that's on your heart, what Jesus can turn that into in someone's life. It's not the exact amount. It's not the act of breaking a jar of perfume. It's not the how, but it's the why we give and are generous, because we want to be have a generous heart behind it. We want our heart to connect with God's heart. Tell you what, Church on the Rock, I grew up in church, and I've been in church almost all my life, and this church is the most generous church I've ever been around. Your generosity is so infectious and has influenced me and my family as well, and we're just so excited to share and participate in it with you. The way you guys give to each other, but also weekly to the community around you. Do we give because everything he has given us is not ours and his? Are we generous because we believe in and have faith that he's going to bless us too? Church, let's give with worshipful hearts to God as we bless those in need in our community. We've got the chance to invest right now. Because being grateful of the generosity of God leads to a life of generosity. Invest in this opportunity of benevolence offerings today. And you know, and then after this benevolence thing, we're going into Christmas time. Do something out of the norm. Follow the Holy Spirit's leading, maybe, and give, buy someone a cup of coffee that you don't know, or a meal, or buy a gift, a present to someone that you don't usually give a gift to. Follow the Holy Spirit's leading in that. And see how God is going to incredibly bless you back. Be a genius. Church, what are you going to do with what God has given you to steward and manage? You're in the God market now. Invest. It's open for business.
Thank you for listening. For more of our podcasts and to discover how you can connect, visit us at churchak.org or download our Church on the Rock AK app from either iTunes or Google Play.